We are happy you tuned in to us this Sunday afternoon for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. It's once again Take Time for Jesus, coming to you by radio in your homes or maybe even by your computer. And we just thank God today to know that He is still on the throne, and His business is greater than any of yours or mine could ever possibly be. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He has still got control over the things that are going on across the lands in this world. So we just praise Him today to know that He's still in control, and He has a plan. Everything's going to be fulfilled according to His word. There's not an dot of the I or cross of the T is going to fall short into what He will bring forth, and He will bring it all about in these days that we're living. We see some remnants of the things that He spoke about, and Matthew tells us a lot in the book of Matthew in 24, and it goes on throughout the scriptures. And today we want to emphasize to you to read your Bible and study it for yourself, to know that what it says, instead of listening to some of the stuff or reading some of the books that came out about somebody done something wrong or somebody left behind. But if after the Lord comes, He gets His head chopped off, He'll still go on into heaven, and these things of that nature and everything, my friend. If we're not prepared to meet the Lord in the clouds of glory, His church, His bride, then them that don't make it is not going to get out of this and everything. So I'm persuaded to believe that we need to study the Word of God and to see what it has to say. There's many that's wrote books about them left behind and so on, so we had movies out about it and everything. If you look at the time that when Noah, those that was left behind that didn't get in the ark, they did not survive. Same thing it's going to be if they're not taken up in the bride of Christ and the church when He comes in the clouds of glory. They're not going to make it, my friend. I'm sorry to tell you, but that's the way it is. But I hope that you will pay attention enough to the words and read your scripture and verify in your own heart that you need to get it right now, because there ain't going to be no second chance. You've having your second chance now. You have your second chance when you repent of your sins and be saved and there. So it's time that we got together on it and began to realize that the Word of God is truth, and it's going to be fulfilled according to what it says, and not somebody out yonder somewhere or another in some other part of the country telling you how it is to be, and you going by what they say. Go by what the Word of God says. That's what my hope is, that I will read the scriptures and find out what it says, then I can relate it to you, and to be no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If you don't make it, I heard a fellow say one time, it's going to take God 7 times to get the church off of the earth. Well, that's kind of absurd to me a little bit. That's making God awful small and the church a real big one, that it'll take 7 loads to get them off. And we notice that the Bible says that there'll be a falling away. So what do we believe? We believe Him or we believe the scriptures? But as we go to prayer at this time, we want you to pray with us as we pray one for another, that God would open our understanding as to what thus says the Word of God, instead of what somebody else's interpretation of it is that may or may not be in line with the Scriptures. So we just praise Him today and thank Him. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before You at this time, as humble as we know how, looking unto Thee to be the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask You you, Lord, that you would help us touch our ears to hear and our heart to receive that which you would be pleased with to hear, that you would have us to hear what thus saith the Word of God, not to go off within this and that and every wind of doctrine, but to stay within your Word, looking unto thee to be the author and the finisher of it. Christ in us, the hope of glory, reconciling the world unto himself. So we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that your Word is truth, and you will fulfill all things according to it as it is written, and not what some people might want it to be. But I just praise you and thank you for your love, for that day at Calvary, to whereby that you died for our sins and made it possible that we could have that chance of redemption and be prepared to go in that day when you take your bride to be with you. We just praise you and thank you for life, health, and strength, for all that you have blessed us with. Touch the ears of those to hear and the heart to receive. And those that have helped us, we ask your rich blessings upon us. And Lord, that we would praise you and give you the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe my wife has something over there now. So here's Sister Sarah.
Well, I just praise the Lord again for this opportunity that we can bring you a message that may stir your hearts. And if you have loved ones there, share this message with them. You can hear us on your computer, and it's something that we need to think about, as I believe that we are close to the end. A lot of people say, oh, well, Jesus isn't coming back for another 100 years. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. Nobody knows the day or the hour. The main thing is to be ready now. You never know whether today is going to be your last day, or going to be your next breath is going to be your last one, or even the one you're drawing in now could be your last one. You never know when eternity will end. It could be any time. But I want to share this with you this afternoon. It's called, Could This Be the End? Certainly, nowhere of time can be like the times before, and today is no different. As troubles in this world have intensified before, certainly the people then thought that the end was at hand. Surely the major wars of the 20th century must have caused many to think the end to be near. To date, the world has not come to an end except once, when God sent a great flood to destroy it all. All except Noah and his family. It wasn't the earth that was destroyed, but the world. The world being all the things that cause us to go about our daily life. Today, there are many prophecies of the end of our world, the foremost being the Mayan calendar, which, as everyone knows, the prediction is to expire December the 21st, 2012. The Mesoamerican long count calendar carries the same expiration date, but goes further with the prophecy of the appearance of Bolo Yotkun, the god of the underworld who comes to bring peace and enlightenment to Earth's inhabitants. Predictions come and go, so we have to hold to them loosely while at the same time keeping an open mind. But for now, we can expect that we of Earth will one day soon be exposed to something we would call the end. As for prophecies, we know that there are two principalities in our world, and they are direct opposition to each other and are so by God's hand in order that the soul of man might be tested. God has his prophets, which are divine, and Satan's prophets are the occult. Satan received great power from God at Eden and was even allowed to rule as the God of this world for a period of time. That was 6,000 years ago, nearly, and the next parcel of time is 1,000 years when Jesus will rule this world as King of Kings. Whether or not the occult calendars are accurate, God's prophecies demand our attention. We all see weather phenomena that are so unusual. Absolute moral decay, worldwide economic failure, and political unrest all around. To know how to survive the days ahead is to know the purpose of the Divine One and the
Praise
Occult Master.
The Thank you, Jesus.
God desires to be worshipped by those who choose Him for endless days. Satan, in an imitative manner, wants to be worshipped by all too, so has designed a one-world scheme. While God will reveal His redeemed by writing His Messiah's new name on their forehead when He returns, Satan will seal his minions, likewise be requiring them to worship him and take his seal on their right hand, which is the mark of the beast, in order to live in the new world. Our eternal survival depends on our allegiance to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Some well-known preachers and novelists have said that a Christian can take the mark of the beast in order to survive as long as they don't mean it and be forgiven by God. That is a damning lie. If you take the mark or fail to surrender to God's Christ as Savior, you will be swept into a cauldron of deception, reaping you eternal death and contempt. Peter said, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." 2 Peter 3:8. God's creation for this world of the earth took 6 days and a seventh as a day of rest. Bible scholars believe that 6,000 years since Eden will have expired between 2008 and 2017 AD. This is a counterpart of God's created week, following that as Sabbath, 1,000 years when Jesus will rule the earth with His redeemed. Now each of us has a choice of becoming a member of this advancing new world order and soon face God's wrath, or face rejection and suffering by the citizens of this world for the sake of Christ's name and be saved to live out the millennial reign with Christ as King, then later to inherit the new heaven on earth forever. It's an old, old story, but most valuable to us today as the end nears. Jesus died, then resurrected, and rose to heaven that we might believe and trust in Him as the only one who has power over the grave. His Lordship is exclusive. There is no other name under heaven whereby we might be saved. Call on His name today and repent of your sin that you might escape the things to come and live in His grace. And this was a tract that I received in the mail. Quote, unquote, everything I read was there. But if you would like to have a copy of anything that we read on the radio or even on you hear on the internet, we make copies of everything, and you're more than welcome to us. All you have to do is email us or write to us, and we'll be glad to send them to you. No cost, no obligation. We're here to get the word out. We're not here to make a lot of money. May God bless each and every one of you. You're here.
Sky, no This is Inspiration Radio, AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa, home of the Dave Ramsey and Mike Huckabee shows.
Yes, that will be a glorious day when Jesus comes and takes his bride to be with him. It'll be a wonderful time to those that have sought after the kingdom of God here in this life and become his chosen ones by the new birth, born again of the water and of the Spirit, and repented of their sins and received the blessings of salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ through that name that is the only name that can be called upon, that whereby that we can be saved. And upon that day he comes in the clouds of glory to receive his bride unto himself will be a glorious day. It'll be a day that would just surpass all everything that you may think that would be wonderful, because it's going to be a day that's going to last from throughout eternity. As the scripture says, as my wife said there, but Peter recorded there, he says, "Be not ignorant, my brother, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is but one day." So, my friend, it's time that we begin to pay attention to the signs that are happening. If you recall that Matthew speaks about the wars and the rumors of wars, nations against nations, earthquakes in various places. Had an earthquake just the other day upon the East Coast. He shook a little bit around in Boston and up in there in Maine. So, my friend, all these things are being fulfilled. Whether you or I one like it or not, it's not going to change a thing that God's planned to redeem his people and bring them forth, and his coming to get his bride. There's nothing you or I can do to prevent it, but we need to get prepared for that time. As in chapter 5 in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul was recording there, and he said, "But as the time and of the season, brother, we have no need to write unto you, for yourself know perfectly well the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now, we know that here in the past few years that Israel and these people over there, the Palestinians, they've tried to bring a peace into them. It hasn't succeeded yet. But, my friend, it's going to come, and there's going to come a time that people are going to say, now we have peace and safety. And if you look to the in the scriptures, you'll notice that Israel is kind of like a melting pot. Things is going to start from there and spread on over into the rest of the world. And the rest of the world is going to be amazed at what God's going to do when they come against his people Israel to destroy them. God's going to fight with them as he did in the days of old, and he's going to stand between their enemies and them, and he's going to put an end to all these things. Be prepared, my friend. Be prepared, for the day of the Lord is coming, and there's nothing you and I can do to prevent it, but you can do something to be prepared for it. You can repent if you have not already. And you come to be a Christian, a Christ-like person, forgiving your brothers and even your enemies, and doing what God would have you to do. You read the scriptures and find out. Don't have the time to go through it every bit and call it out and everything, but I encourage you to read the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible and don't have the money to buy it, I'll somehow or another get you one if you let me know. But I want you to understand that the Word of God's going to be fulfilled, and it's going to come to the place to where in that you and I need to know all there is to know that we can possibly achieve there and hold within our confounds of our heart, our mind, in other words, not the thing that pumps your blood in different parts of your body. It's there for a purpose, and it serves the purpose, pumping the blood from one part of your body to the other, the circulation. But that mind up there, the brain, in other words, is the heart that God is speaking to. It hears because it controls every other part of the body. The heart would quit if the mind didn't tell it to do what it's supposed to do. So, my friend, look into the scriptures and find that God's word is going to be fulfilled. As I said a little bit ago, that not a dot of the I or a cross of the T is going to fall short, and everything's going to be fulfilled. So remember this. In the chapter 2 in the book, 2 Thessalonians, he writes, he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the by our gathering together unto him, that we be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, or by letter from us, as the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above that is all that is called God, or that he is worshipped, so that as he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Paul reminds us, he said, "Remember you not that when we were yet with you, we told you these things? And now you know that with holding of the might be revealed in his time." My friend, we look into the scriptures and we find a lot of things is somewhat different from what some of these things that people are writing books about, and they come. I remember back when I was a boy, just a young man there, I didn't know a whole lot, wasn't interested in a lot of things. But somebody was telling me about this book, and they wrote in this book here, I don't remember the author of it, but he was talking about them that was left behind after the church had been took out and God had received his bride in the clouds of glory, and they was confronted to take the mark of the beast and these things like that and everything, and there was many of them was left behind. But I want you to know that in the book of Revelation, he speaks about in there that we look at it in the 13th chapter of Revelations, and he said in the first beast, and he comes, or rather the 12th chapter, I'm sorry, and he said that they would come there, and that the time would come that this man of sin, the Antichrist, in other words, would make war with the saints and overcome them for 42 months. My friend, do you believe that they're going, that the devil and his gang, the Antichrist, in other words, is going to come and kick the door, or you might say the gates at St. Peter's Mines, into heaven and come in there and make war with the saints and them in the presence of God? I don't think so. But nevertheless, if they're still here on earth and he give power to overcome them for 42 months, don't you think that it's going to be some rough times? I believe there will be. But some of these people is left behind. They're going to get the second chance. But I believe when we come before the Lord God of glory, the creator of all things, the one who bled and died for us there on Calvary's cross, when we come and stand before him, and every man will be judged accordingly, is good or bad. And when he says to them that on his right hand, enter in, or them on his left hand, I don't know you, depart from me, there's no court in the land going to jump up and say, we want a new trial. That's going to be it. If you remember, the book tells us about how Noah worked 120 years to build the ark, because God had spoke to him and told him to prepare it, and that him and his family got into the ark, and yet it says spent 7 days there waiting upon somebody else to come in, but they didn't. But they poked fun and ridiculed Noah and all of his people and everything. But when God shut the door, honey, and the rain began to fall, I'm persuaded to believe there was a prayer meeting going on, but it was too late. So don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until the Spirit of God has lifted his body of Christ, the bride, up into glory and received them there. Don't wait until after that and think you got a whole bunch of time left and you're going to be faithful and be strong and be within yourself, that you're strong enough to stand against the wiles of the devil without any help from God. And you'll lay your head on the chop block for the glory of God and say, chop off on the dotted line and everything's going to be all right. Honey, if you miss out on the catching away of the bride of Christ there when he comes to receive his own unto himself, that where he is there we might be also. My friend, I want you to know, if you miss out on that, you miss the boat. Oh, it ain't going to take him 7 times to come back 7 times to get his bride. He's going to come and take her away in the heat of the night to them that are not looking for him. If you know that a thief was going to come to your house, you'd be prepared and watching for him. There's going to come a day when Jesus is going to step out on the clouds of glory and to receive his bride unto him, his church, in other words. And we don't know the day of the hour, but it's going to come. And if you're waiting until that time comes that you make it right, you done waited too long, my friend. I want you to understand and know that after that, there is not going to be no hope. So what is the problem here with these people? It's saying you're going to be left behind and you still be able to make it. Without the Spirit of God, the church in this world, preaching this gospel, getting you prepared for what's yet to come, telling you the truth, and without the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God drawing you, no man cometh unto the Father but by him, and the Spirit draweth him. My friend, if there's not the Spirit of God is not here to draw you, then I want to pray, tell me what's going to cause you to think that you're going to be strong enough to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Antichrist did declare unto you that you're going to do this or do that. Dictatorship, we know that how that some of these dictators that came along is our day. And if they didn't do it like they wanted it done, if they bucked them in any way, they'd take them out and shoot them or hang them or something other. Many people have come against these things and have perished in this world. Perhaps that many of them was done it for the glory of God and they have got eternal life. But some of them may have not been. But I want you to know, my friend, it's time we got it right. It's time we woke up to realization. Time we smelled the roses, in other words. Time we got up in the morning seeking after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Going to bed with a prayer on our lips and our heart, calling upon the Lord in case this day is my last one here on the earth, that I want to be prepared to meet you. Whether I'm asleep in the dust of the earth or still yet remain to be alive, that I can be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and forever there be with the Lord. My friend, this hereafter religion that's come along with some of these people that's coming to them that's left behind is a fluke. I'm telling you, it's a lie. My friend, you need to get it right now. When the church is took out, there's no spirit going to draw you. And without the drawing, the Holy Ghost anointing and drawing people unto the Lord God of creation, then where are you going to be? You're going to be left with nothing but yourself, and the old flesh is not going to be able to stand without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, without the Holy Ghost in him, without Christ in him, the hope of glory. Without Christ in you, you have no hope. Without you have hope in him, there is no hope. But Paul said, if you in this world only have hope, then you men most miserable. I have hope in the world to come, according to the word of God, into that new place that Jesus said, I'll go and prepare for you. That's where my hope is, that one day that I'll see my Savior greet him with a praise and a hallelujah, and therefore they say, enter in. Oh, my friend, today it's time we begin to realize that the days that we're living in is perilous times, knowing that these things around and about us are happening. All these things, these nations going against one another. People lived under dictatorship. They got tired of it, and they're having wars and destroying property and people also. And I want you to think about that, how that these terrorists and everything is going around trying to bring the peace has been took from the earth. But there's going to come a time that they're going to come according to the word of God, and they're going to cry out peace and safety. And the Bible speaks about sudden destruction. My friend, today, what are we going to believe? Them left behind stories, or are we going to believe the story that Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, and I'll forgive your sins, in other words. I'm the only one. Besides me, I know none. Oh, my friend, but there's many people out there know several gods, but there are only one true living God, and his name's Jesus. That God in his own spirit put on the robe of flesh one time, stepped out into this world as a babe in the flesh, and he came for the purpose to die for yours and my sins, that whereby that we could have that opportunity, or that second chance, if you want to put it that way, that we could have life with him for eternity. And if we don't receive him, as them that have not received him had gone their own way. Many have lost out because of unbelief. The devil, he just puts all kinds of things out there that you would deceive you and to bring you forth. He's an arch deceiver. He'll bring forth things into your heart and bring it into the world that you will lust after it and fulfill the lust of the flesh. But when the end comes and you fall headlong into hell and he laughs at you, then what are you going to do? There ain't no hope then. You remember the time that when Jesus spoke about the rich man and Lazarus just asked for the crumbs from the rich man's table that he may have something to sustain him day by day. Oh, I want you to think about it, my friend. But Lazarus died and was born up into Abraham's bosom, into the paradise of God, if you will. The rich man died and was buried, and Jesus said, in hell he lifted up his eyes and seen a Lazarus far off in Abraham's bosom, in the paradise of God, if you will, my friend. And he cried out, Abraham, let Lazarus come and dip his finger into the water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. What are you going to do then, my friend? Lazarus ain't going to come and cool your tongue. You ain't going to go up to him. He ain't going to send none of the prophets back to you. People back then that come from the dead and they believe. If they're not going to believe this written letter that the apostle died to bring to you and I and Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill all things. If they won't believe it, they're not going to believe one, even though he rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, and they didn't believe in him. They still, many people don't believe in him. If you go around, even to a lot of them, the Jews don't believe fully in him yet, but they will. But it's going to come a time and it's going to shake them right down to the foundation of where they live. And they're going to wake up to the fact that that Antichrist is not the Messiah that they was expecting when he goes to set himself up to be God in the temple there. And he declares himself to be worshipped as God and everything that. And then they're going going to know that he is the false Messiah, and they're going to flee. My friend, today you need to study your word. These jailhouse preachers in one thing or another has went down the line. Some of these seminar preachers that comes out and they learned how to preach the word of God with isms and schisms, with smooth thing and sugarcoating it and bringing it forth there with kid gloves. Honey, I want you to know that it's time you begin to feed on the meat of the word of God and quit sucking on the sugar tit. It's plain, but it's truth. I don't want you to die and go to hell. I want to meet you in glory when we all meet there around the throne of God. Oh, and the only way I know I can do it is tell you like it is. If I sugarcoat it around and patsyfoot around about it, about the truth, and not tell you the truth, then we will gather together in the torments of hell. That's where we'll be. But I want to tell you the truth. The word of God is truth, my friend. Believe what it says. Not because I said it, but read it for yourself and believe what it says. Then we can gather together in the kingdom of God, in that place that Jesus said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be there also. Now, what do you want to do? You want to go ahead and sperm the word of God, disbelief, go on your own way, and think these prosperity preachers have got it all down? Been the worst thing that's happened in this charismatic ranks. And people believing that they are supposed to be some kind of chump. It's God's a Santa Claus in the sky. And all you give him $10, he's going to give you $10 million back because you wrote it and sent it to some feller that give you a piece of paper that looked like a rug to pray on. And then you look and send your money to him. You made his bank account grow, and you done without something, but you ain't become that millionaire that you thought he would be, that you thought you would be. My friend, today it's not about money, silver and gold, but it's about Jesus Christ. He's the one who bled and died for your soul as he did for mine, and whosoever will, that they might believe upon him, that they may have eternal life. It wasn't some of these prosperity preachers or some of these others that comes around and left behind deal. It was Jesus. It's all about him. Jesus, when you begin to take time for him, he'll have time for you, my friend. He spent a whole day almost on Calvary's cross for you, and some of you won't even spend 10 minutes in prayer for him. Some of you won't even go to the church and worship in spirit and in truth and gather together. You won't even go. You'll go 100 or so miles or 1,000 miles to a stinking football game, and you won't go around the corner to hear the word of God. My friend, it's coming to time to where in that you're going to reap what you sow, and you're going to reap it like a whirlwind, and it's going to come upon you with destruction, and therefore take all that you have if you don't get it right with the Lord. I'm not threatening you. I'm not a doomsday preacher. I'm just telling you what the word of God says. It's either him or the devil. You can't love both of them. You can't serve both of them and meet both of them's requirements. And one's going to make it good for you and the other's going to make it bad for you. It ain't going to happen like that. It's going to be that way. If you serve the devil, he's going to make it bad on you. You may think that you're getting by now, but when the end comes and he has you there in hell, and he's going to be thrown in there with you. So where are you going to be? The God of this world is going to be punished for all of his deceiving, for all of his things that he's done, and deceiving of the world and destruction that he's brought upon people through unbelief and deceiving and deception that he's fooled them into and brought them into destruction. He himself, as the Bible says, that the devil and all the false prophets will be cast alive into the lake of fire. So where's your hero going to be at then? If you choose the devil for your hero, or some of these here worldly people for your heroes, and you don't know Jesus, then you're going to be lost, my friend. That's plain and simple. You're not going to make it without Jesus. You're not going to get into the kingdom of God without going through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the truth and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto me but the Spirit draweth him. So where is this here, them left behind? What's going to draw them after the church has been raptured out, as they say? The word rapture is put in there, but it's not one that's conformity to the Word of God, but it's a catching way of the saints. My friend, I want you to understand that after the church is gone, I don't believe that there's going to be any hope for them that's left behind. It wasn't for Noah in Noah's time. It wasn't for them in Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot was carried out. The angel had to practically drag him out. Then his wife got to look one more time and turn to a pillar of salt. She didn't make it. Lot got out there and later on had some children by his daughters, and they come up to be something else too. But when Lot left out of Sodom, the fire failed and there was nobody saved after that. They all perished. So where is this here left behind theory come from? Out of the deception that the devil has placed into some of these people's heart to bring to you and tell you all this stuff. And the devil just said, yeah, if I get to believe, they got a chance after the church is raptured out and they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ now, they'll have opportunity, even though to get the head chopped off, they'll have an opportunity. Now, that's a lie, my friend. If you die without Christ in you, you're dead. Hell is going to be your destination. Only them that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit will be brought into the kingdom of God. And if you hadn't got the Spirit of God, is not here to draw you, then how are you going to get there? How are you going to get into the kingdom of God unless the Spirit of God draws you? When his bride is took out, his church, in other words, is took off of the face of the earth, it's going to be left with the devil. And then the great tribulation, the wrath of God, is going to be poured out upon them that are left behind. You think that this is bad? Hang around, you're getting to be worse. But Jesus said, except those days be shortened, no flesh be saved. My friend, he's going to shorten them times. I don't know when the day that he's going to come. I don't know the hour, but I'm watching and waiting and praying and seeking him. I want to be prepared. I want to have oil in my lamp. I want my light to shine. I want you to come and go with me. Let me invite you to come and go with me to the place where Jesus said he gone to prepare. You can only get there through the door, and Jesus is the door. You can only get into the door by repenting of your sins, taking on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him as your Lord and Savior, letting the blood of Jesus be applied to your sin-dark soul and be washed whiter than snow, only through the blood of Jesus. It's all about him. It ain't about me. Ain't about you. It ain't about the politicians down the street or whomever, but it's all about Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. These politicians there oftentimes promise you the world, and then they'll take it away from you at the other time when they get to sit in the big chair. They do all kinds of things to take your liberty, your wealth, and everything else away from you. That man that's there now is after destroying this United States because he's not worthy to be there according to all that has been said about him. I can't speak a whole lot for the one that's trying to get there, or a whole lot for some of them that's already been there. But my friend, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he's not going to enter into the kingdom of God. I don't care where he's president, king, or whomever he was. If he ain't been born again, he ain't going to make it. And if he be your God, then you ain't going to make it either. Because Jesus is the only true living God. In Him we have freedom. In Him we have salvation. Through that shed blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. For without the shedding of blood there was no remission of sin. I just want you to think about it, my friend. Don't take my word for it. Read your Bible. Read the scriptures and find out. If you comparison it with the way that things are happening around today, and if you can't see that we're living in perilous times by all the things that are happening, my friend, you're blind. You can't see no further than the end of your nose. Your hope is lost. But God will help you to understand it if you'll seek after Him. Seek after the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First and foremost, calling upon the name of the Lord. He'll bring you to the place of wherein that He can speak to you out of the written letter. And the Spirit of God will confirm it, and you'll know that God is God, and He's going to have the last word to say. Well, He's either going to say, enter in or depart from me. Oh, my friend, it's time we woke up. Time you taking another look at yourself in the mirror. Understand you was created in the image of the infallible God. Not that man sits over yonder in that big chair in Italy over there. He was created in the image of God also. But he's not God. I don't care who you call Him, holy, whatever. Ain't but one holy, and that's the Lord God of creation. My friend, today we need to realize that God is God all over the world. He was God in the amen corner. He's God all over the place. There's nobody like Him. Nobody can take His place. He's the only true living God. Came and put on the robe of flesh and came and died for yours and my miserable soul, that we wouldn't have to perish and die and go to hell, but we could have life eternally with Him. And all we got to do is receive Him, repent, ask Him to come in and save our soul. Won't cost you nothing but the world. You can't serve the world and God too. So you have to give up the world. The love of the world is enemy to God. So you got to put Him first. You're going to have to love God first and foremost, even more than your loving wife or your mother or your brother, your dad, your sister. You're going to have to put Him first. And if you put Him first, my friend, He'll allow you to have that love that you need for your other loved ones. It ain't going to be no mistake about it. I love you in Christ Jesus. I love you, and I'm wanting to tell you about the love of God. There's a reason why I come here. Not for your money and not for all the riches of this land ain't going to save your soul, but the blood of Jesus applied to your sins and your heart cleansed and you brought forth and repent unto Him, not to me, but unto Him, and He will give you life. Not I, but Him, Jesus. When you take time out of your daily life to serve Him and to worship Him, taking time for Jesus will get you into the kingdom of God and a life everlasting in His presence with joy, peace, and love forevermore. But without Him, it'll be hellfire, torment, darkness, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Forevermore. It's your choice, my friend. I plead you. I beg of you. Choose Jesus. He's the only hope of salvation. That other fellow we call the devil will bring you down into hell, drag you down there and beat you in the face with the soot, so they say. It's time we begin to realize who He is and that Jesus has come to die for your sins. He come to save you. He's not going to save you in your sins, but He'll save you from your sins. You can't go down the road in the middle of the road and say, well, I'll just fall on whichever side's right. There's no gray area in God. It's either you serve Him or you serve the mammon. You serve the world, you can't serve God. If you serve God, you're in this world, but you're not a part of the world. You can be set free from your sins. All you have to do is humble yourself before the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him and repent, accepting him as your Savior, calling upon the name of the Lord. Repent, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. There's a narrow way into the kingdom of God, but a broad way in destruction, and many find it, and many travel there on it. But narrow is the way that leads into life ever eternally, and few that find it. I want to help you to find the way. I found him one day, and oh my God, how much it made a joy and a change in my life to know that Jesus is my Savior. He came to provide salvation for me, and I accepted him in the finished works of Calvary. Had the blood applied, now I can rejoice in the Spirit to know that my God reigns and he's alive and alive forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I hope that I've said something other to touch your heart's mind, that you might think about Jesus, that you might come to the place that you desire to have him in your life, calling upon him, taking time for Jesus out of your daily life, giving him some time and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. My friend, like I said, I'm not in this for silver and gold because I don't have it. But what I have, I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Repent of your wicked ways, and those that have known him and is your personal Savior, God bless you is my prayer. And as my wife said, if you want to help us with this broadcast in any way, make a check out to Take Time for Jesus to the post office box, and we'll be glad to pray with you, and we would most appreciate it. But I'm still not preaching for your money. Some way or another, God will provide, and I'm looking to him for all that help that I need. So may God bless you until next week. Take time of your daily chores and all that to give God some time, calling upon the name of Jesus. May God bless you, my friend.
We would like to invite you to come to our church, Christian Growth Fellowship, where Pastor Pennington brings the Word of God every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. The church is located at 149 April Lane in Tampa, Florida, 33613. If you don't have a church home, come join the family at ours. If Take Time for Jesus has been a blessing to you, email taketimeforjesus@wtis1110.com or write Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. God bless. That taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How